option, and the one that I suspect most readers will find easier to accept, is that the MIB are the product of a covert operation on the
fringes of government study into UFOs. It's 2015, and Sue Swiatek is giving a pretty routine conference for a UFO research group called UPARS.
UPARS.
Yeah, I have in front of me what that stands for. I'm assuming it's UFO enthusiasts who like to take Benzedrine.
Yeah.
But and it's mostly about people who've been harassed after witnessing UFO phenomena, which is a topic I'm fascinated with. But if I'm honest with you, this conference is pretty dull. The stories of the men in black and similar type things are pretty compelling. They're interesting, but if I'm being straight with you, Sue isn't a real great public speaker. And as interesting as these stories might be, most of them, really pretty much all of them, are just that, stories. They don't come with evidence or independent verification, documentation. And so they're just, you know, interesting, cool stories. But then, I mean, and this is well past the hour and a half mark, Sue drops a stone cold banger. She has unearthed some tape that a man named Gary Sudbrink, has made of a phone call that he received. And Gary, he isn't just some chump. He was an Air Force captain at the time of the call, and it's all there in reasonably clear audio. He's getting a call from some very strange person with a very creepy voice saying some frightening things. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. I want to give you one other hook. We're going to play some of the audio, but just one more hook before we get started. I think we might stand a chance at solving this one. That's not a joke. I think I can land this fish.
We always solve them. What are you talking about?
You might just walk away, you know, with convinced of my explanation. Okay, but first, let's just take a little listen to this really awesome piece of audio.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to him? Yeah, who's this? Steven, are you playing games with me or what? Huh? Steven, if you're playing games, I'm going to kick your ass.
So how long are you going to be back from Texas?
Huh?
You were being impersonated by the other voice.
Yeah, this is you, Steven, you idiot. You're pissing me off. Jerk. I'm going to get you on. Let's see what it says. Review. One new call out of area. Is Steven out of the area?
Are you going to be back from Texas?
Wait, say that again?
You are being impersonated by the other voice.
Wait, hold on. Is Steven out of the calling area or what?
Hello?
Hello? Sounds like a freaking robot.
So hello?
How long are you going to be back from Texas?
What was that again, sir?
You were being impersonated by the other voice.
Oh, be quiet, Alfred. Sorry, would you see that again? Being impersonated by what voice?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
There's Gary's son Brink there.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, what is your question? I'll answer it.
So how long are you going to be back from Texas?
How long?
You were being impersonated by the other voice.
Right. When am I coming back? Is that your question? Okay, there was a break. Hold on. You want to know when I'm coming back to Texas? Oh, is that your question?
So how long are you going to be back from Texas?
How long am I going to be back from Texas? That question doesn't make any sense.
By the other voice.
Okay. I'll be coming back eventually. I can't tell you when. You should know that question, the answer to the question, because you seem to know more about me than I do. You know what I'm saying?
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. In case we forgot to mention it, this is The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as usual by
the other voice, Vincent Caldoni. That's me.
Okay. Before we get back into this tape, let's get a little background about Gary Sudbrink and why he sounds so apprehensive or whatever you describe his tone as, aside from being a New Yorker, of course. So Gary is from New York, but in 1993, when the tape was made, he was in the Air Force. And as we said, he was a captain. And he was stationed in Texas, the Republic of. Mm-hmm. He flew back from Texas to his home in New York to surprise his parents and friends with a visit. But the thing is he didn't tell a soul that he was going to be doing this other than his superiors back in Texas.
When he was at the airport in Texas, a man approached him and asked his name, how to spell it, where he's going, and other basic personal information. Gary assumes that this dude is just a salesman or something. He tells a guy to go sod off. This man, he's persistent. He just won't leave Gary alone. Gary's feeling kind of harassed, but in no time, his flight is boarding and he gets on. And so he figures the problem's solved. But right after Gary gets in his seat, this guy shows up on the plane and he sits down right next to Gary.
Now that's persistence.
Right. Yeah. Well, none of it seemed to have a point. Like he wasn't like, you know, trying to sell him Avon or something. Like he just wanted to know like his name and where he was going. And he's asking the same questions over and over.
Mm.
And they're inane, but you know, still kind of invasive. But yeah. Now the guy seems more upset. Like he's asking with even more urgency. And Gary is getting angry. He tells the guy to get lost, I believe in less polite language than I just used. Things start to get heated. And this brings the flight attendant over. She asks to see this obnoxious guy's ticket, and he's not even in the right section. So
problem solved.
Yeah, so the stewardess makes him go to his seat. Eventually, when Gary landed in New York, he took special care to get off the plane and out of the airport without having to interact with this rude stranger.
Ah, jerk.
Yeah.
So yeah, he gets a cab, goes to his parents' house. They have a happy surprise reunion. He calls an old friend later that day and planning to surprise him with the news that he's in New York. But Gary's friend laughs. He already knew Gary was coming to New York because his friend got a call from Gary the day before he left Texas. And on that call, Gary explained that he was on his way to the Big Apple. So Gary thinks he knows what happened. He thinks someone at the base in Texas got word of what he was up to and decided to punk Gary by blowing up his surprise visit. But Gary's friend is certain, though. He insists to Gary that it was Gary's voice. He said that the phone call actually went on for a bit. They spoke at length.
And if you've heard that clip, Gary has a pretty distinct voice.
Gary gave the friend flight information, although that was wrong. It even had the wrong airport. But
yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. And this is a friend who, by the way, had known Gary for years. And he was 100% sure that it was Gary and not just somebody doing an imitation of his voice. So that's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Back at his folks' house, Gary starts getting calls on the landline from a number that the caller ID didn't recognize, said it was out of area. The caller is robotic and difficult to hear.
Kind of distorted sounding even.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how it sounds.
Almost like an alien.
Kind of, yeah. And asked to speak to Gary. And so when Captain Sidbrink gets to the phone, the caller asks vague and pointless questions that are oddly worded, like, how long are you back from Texas? Again and again and again. And it's worth noting, Gary has said in the years since that this was not the man from the airplane. They didn't sound the same. The two voices were nothing alike.
Well, I don't know how you could really say that. I mean, the voice sounds to me like the voice on the tape, or tapes, I should say, I guess, has been electronically distorted. It sounds that way, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so how would he know really that it was truly not the man from the airplane? But of course, you know, if the guy on the airplane knew Gary's name and where his parents lived and what their phone number was, why did he have to ask those questions on the airplane? You got to ask.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Well,
right.
The voice also has things to say, statements of strange things like, quote, you are being impersonated by the other voice, unquote. And, quote, the sun will rise on the dark side of the moon, unquote.
What now?
Yeah, I don't know, right?
I guess.
The sun will rise on the dark side of the moon. Oh, my God. Yeah. Which, by the way, is not an unreasonable prediction.
Yeah, right? It's probably going to happen. I had to Google those, you know, some of those things that he says, because they kind of sound like Pink Floyd lyrics to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The dark side of the moon. Yeah, but anyway, the sun will rise on the dark side of the moon. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But Gary had about enough of this this crap, like a lot of Air Force captains and proud New Yorkers. Gary doesn't suffer fools gladly. So he gets up with the caller's business. He's sure he's being punked. And he's obviously angry with whoever it is. And he starts getting aggressive. He starts recording these calls with a cassette recorder. He puts others on the line, like his dad and his
mom.
Actually,
I should say, Joe, that's bad typing. I mean, it is technically true. He said later that he was using the answering machine to record this.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's using the answering machine. This voice is infuriating because, and I know that's the impression I get from the tapes too. The voice, there's no reaction. I mean, whatever Gary says or how angry or not he is, the voice voice is kind of the same. It doesn't really change. The voice, it really actually doesn't seem to be listening in a way. It can't get any meaningful information out of this caller. And the caller just repeats the same weird things over and over. Has no real conversational skills. Goes quiet for long stretches and rarely responds directly to a question. Leaves awkward pauses before answering Gary, and at times cuts him off at other times.
It didn't really make me wish listening to it. You know, it's pretty, I don't know, maybe this just kind of thing doesn't work for you. It creeps me out listening to it. Like, you listen to it like at night in the dark. It's kind of, but I did really want Gary to just break down. I understand why he wouldn't want to give this weird caller his information. But like, he'd be like, no, I'm going to be here till Thursday. You know, like, just tell him.
Yeah. Why would he tell them that? You know, I don't quite get that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know if you thought this guy was like some kind of stalker or something. Maybe he doesn't want to give it over, but I'd be interested to see what the caller would have done if Gary would have just answered his question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if I had been Gary, actually, I would have totally lied. I would have said, what do you mean? How long? I mean, for good. I just went AWOL from the Air Force. I'm not going back.
That would be interesting.
I know, right?
All right, so let's play one more clip of Gary that kind of illustrates the stuff we're talking about.
Yes.
Are you back from Texas?
Not back yet, no.
How long are you going to be back from Texas?
Let me answer. First, you tell me, where are you calling from?
This is Gary Sutcliffe.
Yeah, why don't you tell me where you're calling from? Okay, I'll be back. Excuse me? I can't hear too well.
A full moon.
Yeah, it is a full moon out. That's true. Could you identify yourself? Identify yourself. Why are you calling me? Excuse me?
Keep an eye in the sky, he said.
Keep an eye in the sky?
Yeah.
The harassment is really getting to Captain Sudbrink by now, and his whole family. Honestly, his mother and his father are hearing this. There's other people that are listening in on these calls, and he's had enough. But his resolve is weakening. He's starting to think that this isn't just a persistent prank caller. One of his buddies from the base, or his brother Steven, was one person he suspected at first, and he's coming to an eerie conclusion. And he straight up asks the caller, "Are you a spaceman?" And this is kind of interesting because this is where he actually gets a reaction because he hangs up.
To this day,
Gary is confused by the incident. He actually tried back in the 90s to get some media attention and to get some coverage of his recordings, but no one really bit. And that went on like that for a long time until Sue Swiatek kind of nonchalantly dropped it at the end of this long conference from 2015. And since then, the clip has been making the rounds in all the usual places like Reddit and various conspiracy websites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is, even though it's not something that's well known in the general wider world, apparently it's fairly well known in the UFO world.
Yeah, it definitely. If you're into, you know, well, following UFOs and UFO conspiracies and things like that on Reddit, you will come across this bit of tape.
Weird little tape. I don't know, man. To me, it sounds like, I mean, he's like, hello. And then there's this weird voice and words. Oh, it's your refrigerator running. And I don't know why he spends so much time talking to this voice, to be honest with you. I mean, I would have hung up personally quite quickly.
Don't you kind of get the impression that Gary's the kind of guy who, like, if he was really annoyed with this person, would stay on the phone just to, like, I don't know, just like to have it out with him?
Maybe. I don't know Gary, but
no, I don't either.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Or maybe he thought if he stayed on the phone long enough, he could get this person to fess up to who he really was, or maybe get him to slip up and reveal accidentally, you know, who he was. Or something, you know, or you never know. I mean, maybe Gary was actually driving around on a mobile phone, just, you know, like looking for the signal to get stronger or weaker so he could find somebody that looked like it might be the guy and then kill him. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's why he kept him on the line. Yeah,
could be. All right, so let's run down some theories. There's not a ton, but let's just run down a couple theories.
We can do that. Oh, wait a second. We need a word from our sponsor or anything?
Ooh, let's do that one.
Yeah, let's really talk fast. So this is actually going to be kind of a short episode here because
it is. But we got some good audio to play. So right. We're all going on vacation. We need a quick frothy one. We'll get back to some murder and mayhem conspiracies soon enough. But no, I just want to tell you guys, I know I talk about it every week, but Contact E.
Oh,
that's my movie.
Yeah,
and that is. Who is sponsoring this episode, so to speak. So yeah, by all means, if you haven't already, check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a story of a psychologist who gets a new patient with a dark past. And as he speaks to her, she tells him stories of being abducted by aliens. Very relevant to this episode. And he starts to believe her over time. And he comes up with this crazy plan to take her out of the mental institution and out into the mountains of Oregon, where essentially he plans to document with cameras and other devices her being abducted.
Yeah, he wants to use her as bait.
Kind of. And to say any more would be spoilers, other than to say that that is where things start to get really, really strange, really weird. Mm. So please, if you haven't already, it's on Amazon Prime. If you're not anywhere that Amazon is allowing you to watch it, get in touch with us. We'll make sure you get a copy. And if you have seen it, I would love it if you'd go out there and give it a positive review, recommend it to your friends. It helps us to keep doing the podcast, and it'd mean a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you should definitely do that. You should be one of the first to go out and watch this movie, because it will be the new Citizen Kane here for in a few more years. Don't you want to be able to say that you were one of the first people to ever see it?
Right.
Yeah.
It's the Citizen Kane of low-budget alien movies.
Exactly. So... let's get back to
it. Let's talk about some theories.
We need to talk about theories a little bit, which is like, there's not too many here. I mean, it's either it's a prank, or it really is Men in Black, or even aliens or something.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of the two main ones. So let's talk about a prank. Yeah. How could this be a prank? How could they do this prank?
How could they? So now if you're talking about the whole thing is a prank.
The Gary's being pranked.
Yeah, somebody calls his friend and impersonates Gary, or do you think the friend could have been involved with it? So when he described that he being called from Texas by Gary, he was just lying,
right?
You know, as part of the prank. So that's possible. So this friend must have been in on the prank if it was a prank.
That's true. Right? That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really all that into the prank. I mean, it could be, but it's kind of elaborate.
One thing that that makes me wonder about whether it might have been a prank or not is this. Is it, you know, the one question he asks over more than once is, how long are you going to be back from Texas? Mm-hmm. And that those words would have been spoken by somebody who lives in New York.
That's true. It implies that they're based out of New York City, not Texas or someplace else.
Yeah, it does, which kind of makes me guesstimate that maybe it could have actually been somebody in New York that Gary knew.
Yeah, a friend or a family
member. Who was messing with him.
Right.
So,
it's worth noting, I mean, you can hear it on the tape. Gary definitely thought that's what it was. You know what I mean? He kept thinking it was, his brother and then maybe a friend of his. So, there's definitely that aspect to it.
No, definitely the if Gary had, like, say, faked this, then he did a lousy job of it because he phrased it wrong. You know, he should have said, how long do you plan to be in New York or something
that. That's true.
Yeah.
But
so that does support the prank thing a little bit, although, you know. Yeah.
So the other option would be that this is really, you know, a call from the Men in Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sure everyone's seen the movie starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, the trilogy, I guess. But beyond that, John Keel first described these kind of odd characters with these odd social skills and strange habits, poor manners, odd ways of speaking. And what they would do is they would come around and harass people who'd seen UFOs or other type of phenomena. Actually, in the years since John Keel wrote about that, they've actually become even more common. There's scant documentation out there about these guys, but there are some photos and videos that would seem to document their existence, and this could be some audio evidence.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't know, it's the question is if this is the Men in Black, what the hell are they planning to accomplish?
Well, so that's something we can get into, but Gary was an Air Force captain, and in the years since, he has said that, you know, some of his work brought him close to different things that relate to UFOs and alien human contact. He had not recently witnessed a UFO. However, on the tape, his father says that he'd seen a UFO.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you take that for whatever it is.
So maybe the Men in Black were just calling to sort of take Gary's temperature to see if he'd been talking to his dad about his dad's UFO experience. I mean, it still doesn't quite make sense.
Well, I mean, none of it makes sense. I mean, the questions, the repetitive questions, the sun will rise on the dark side of the moon. You are being impersonated by the other voice, like all this stuff, you know, it's hard to say. Yeah, but that actually tracks with other Men in Black stories that have been around for years. They don't make a lot of sense. They're odd. And that's part of, I think, what really chills people about them. Even at that UFO conference, Sue Swiatek talks about that too, right? Like about how it's odd, and their odd mannerisms is part of what makes them intimidating. They're not directly threatening. They're not like big guys coming to beat you up if you talk to anybody about the UFO you saw. They're intimidating in a different way that... Even one could make a case might be more effective, because it's, if you're not, you know, like if you're not, if you feel like you're a big tough guy and you know you've got your sidearm and you've trained in karate, maybe you're not going to be afraid of a big tough guy coming to threaten you or your family. But a weirdo who just doesn't have any connection, there's something creepier about that. And there's supposed to be a psychological impact from having influence, you know, having talked with them. People report, you know, in the moment being terrified of the Men in Black. Gary doesn't seem to be, but people say they felt just terrified, weak in the knees. Well, and then later they're like, I was just an old man in a dark suit. Like, why was that so scary?
Maybe it wasn't an old man in a dark suit. You know, maybe it wasn't Men in Black here in other cases. Maybe it's actually aliens.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, imagine if there's Men in Black and then they, you know, get murdered by the aliens who then assume their form.
That is actually, you know, more or less have one of the popular theories on the internet is that they are some form of simulacra. Sometimes people think that they might be reanimated corpses.
Yeah.
That are, and there's stories like where, you know, the man in black comes to someone's house and they're there to talk to them about the UFO and they get distracted by a spoon. Like they've never seen a spoon before.
Exactly, because they're freaking aliens.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or like there was one story that John Keel talks about. A man in black ends up in a restaurant and he orders a steak and doesn't know how to cut meat. But he's like a man in his 70s, like he doesn't know what to do with it. So there's interesting stories like that. I am fascinated by reading Men in Black lore. I'm not going to say I'm necessarily a believer directly. I'm open. Mm-hmm. I'm open-minded about it. I don't think all these people are lying. I'm not sure what's going on, but I love the stories. They're such interesting, weird.
It's a fun genre.
Yeah, kind of like David Lynch. You know, I don't know, like just really odd stuff. I really dig it.
So I like the idea. And certainly that would explain the poor social skills and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, just his his inability to hold a conversation actually sounds like Men in Black. So at least on that level, I think Gary has a credible claim that he's really talking to the Men in Black. If there are Men in Black, this sounds like what they're described as talking like.
Yeah, and so maybe that's why he stayed in the phone with them as long as he did. But now, didn't you get a weird phone call from a Man in Black yourself?
Oh, yeah. Are you guys ready for a real twist? This is going to blow your socks off.
Yeah, you have a clip of this, right?
I myself have been a victim of an extremely similar call just the other day. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Should we play it?
Absolutely.
All right, here it goes. You guys ready? All right. This is going to freak you out.
All right.
Hello? Is anyone there? No, you're going to have to identify yourself. I don't know. Who is this? I don't know. But look, man, even if I did, I'm not going to tell you unless you tell me who you are and why you're calling. Yeah, I know. You've got him. This is me. But I don't... Okay. What? Yeah. No, man, I'm not even going to try to tell you that. That is, you know, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you got my number. You get it. Yeah. Okay. Great. Dude, I'm about to hang up. What is your thing? What are you talking about? Oh, Joe. No, look, dude. No. No. You do not get... Who is this? Look it up. No, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not telling you a thing. Stop asking about Joe. No, I can't tell you anything about Joe. This is an invasion of my privacy, and apparently his, too. You need to... Okay, you're starting to really piss me off. I'm not telling you that. One, I don't know, and two, I'm not telling you. Who are you? Answer mine. Who is this? Yeah, no. Dude, where did you get this number? What? What are you talking about?
The sun will rise on the dark side of the moon.
That sounds crazy. Who are you?
Blake and Cody.
What? Dude, who is this?
Blake and Cody.
Who? What? Dude, no. He hung up. What the hell?
Whoa. How could this be? This is what we call proof positive. Mysterious things are afoot. I think. You know,
yeah.
Smoking gun, right? Yeah.
Except that, you know, I mean, it's not. I made the call with using a free voice altering app on my phone, a low cost portable recorder, and a free audio editing bit of software. Not the one I use for the Shocking Details, but free off the internet, just to make it as lo-fi and easy to do as possible.
Yeah.
So that's how I made it. That was my attempt to recreate Gary's call.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. Good job.
No, thank you. I think it sounds about right, considering I only spent about a half an hour making it, maybe less than that.
Yeah. But what happens if you speed the other voice up a little bit?
Right. So let's take another piece of the phone call from Gary, and I tried to enhance it a little bit so it was easier to hear, and then speed it up. And let's take a listen.
Frank there. Yeah, who's this? Steven, are you playing games with me or what?
So how long are you going to be back from Texas?
Huh?
You're being impersonated by the other voice.
Yeah, this is you, Steven, you idiot. Is Steven out of the area?
How are you going to be back from Texas?
Wait, say it again?
You are being impersonated by the other voice.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Now what does that sound like to you?
It sounds like possibly Gary.
Yeah, that's...
it does, yeah.
That's something
that... Which doesn't shock me, really.
No, it doesn't. One of the things I think might have been going on here is that, remember, this is 1993, so this would have been done with tape recorders.
Yeah.
Back in the day, to conserve tape, you could select different tape speeds. And you could actually do that even with just...
And that's on your answering machine, right?
You could do it with your answering machine, a dictaphone, just a basic tape recorder you use for dictation.
Yeah, I had back in those days, I had a tape deck that was like three speeds. And so, I could,
Yeah, and the faster you roll it, the higher quality, but the slower you roll it, the more tape you get. And so if you recorded audio at one speed and played back at another, you'd get, the voice would sound sped up or slowed down, depending on which direction you were doing that. You could also even just use an answering machine for that, like especially the older ones. That's what actually Gary used. He said he taped this off an answering machine. I'm not certain exactly how Gary made this tape. I think it may have been just as simple as using two answering machines, and that's all Captain Gary had to do.
Maybe one answering machine and a tape recorder.
Exactly.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, he could have just had someone call him up and then just hold a tape recorder playing back at the wrong speed up to that phone that was out of area and then talk at it. I think that kind of explains why it could have just been Gary himself and could have been a friend. But I think when you kind of speed it up, it sounds like Gary. He has less New York affect in the other clip, but the voices kind of match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the way it would work is that he taped himself talking at one speed, just at nonsense. This is what I did. Okay. So I'll just explain how I did it. Is I didn't write a script or plan this out or like think about how this was going to go. I literally just freestyled into my phone, just being like, where is Joe?
It seems though that he must have had somebody else in on the prank. I mean, if he had somebody call into his parents' house, and because his parents were there with him at least for one of these calls.
Yeah, I think that's likely. I'm not sure if you could rig an answering machine to do it, but if his parents heard like the phone ring and stuff,
a tape recorder, some dude with a tape recorder or the foreign on the other end.
Yeah, he's just got somebody back at the Air Force Base in Texas and be like, yeah, just call me and just play these weird tapes back that I made.
Yeah, it could have been that, or one of his friends in New York.
Exactly. Something. Well, it would have had to be out of area, but yeah, I mean, who knows?
Well,
who knows
what is out of area? Like, would that just be outside of the town that he's in?
I have no idea.
Outside of the whole Northeast U.S. or
no idea. I actually don't know. We had a caller ID device when I was younger. Before that was just standard on all telephones. And I don't ever remember it saying out of area. Like you had to be local to see it. It's not how it worked. But that part I don't really know about. Yeah, I think that explains also why the man in black on the other end of the line can't really respond very well. But it just seems like it's
because he's just a tape.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Why he doesn't go. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, that's exactly what I did, is I made it intentionally so that I didn't have a script and I couldn't play off it. And so I would just be like, how long are you in Portland? And then, you know, I'd play it back. And then I just acted like I was getting a phone call and be like, what? Hello, who's this? And it was surprisingly easy to do. And granted, that's with modern technology, but I don't know. So that's,
I don't know either. I mean, I wonder if Gary was suspicious or worried that perhaps he was being, you know, surveilled by the Air Force. And, you know, so maybe this was him and a buddy trying to prank whoever was surveilling him.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Kind of like, what's the movie, The Rainmaker, where they do that?
Yeah.
You know, the
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh, it's good. It's got Danny DeVito, Matt Damon, Francis Ford Coppola movie from the 90s. Basically, they know that the other lawyers that they're fighting against in court are tapping their phones.
So they feed him a little disinformation.
Exactly. So, Matt Damon gets a guy, goes to a payphone and pretends to be one of the jurors and basically makes it sound like they're colluding with a juror. They're ripping off a juror. So, of course, in court, they go like, we know this guy was talking to juror number nine. And he's like, juror number nine's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they can't prove it. They just look like idiots in court. It might have been something like that. He might have been, that's kind of funny. Although I don't know why Gary would stick by the story all these years later if that's what he was doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I think it could have been that, like, you know, maybe that's, you know, he made it and just eventually thought, the UFO crowd's out there. Maybe I could monetize this. You know,
I had the same thought. Yeah. Because let's talk for just a second about if we take this recording out, if we just set it aside and don't think about it one way or the other, what's left? We've got the story of the guy on the plane,
which is not exactly verified.
No, there's the stewardess who was on that flight hasn't come forward. So, yeah, outside of the tapes, you know, he says he didn't tell anyone he was going to New York. No one knew he would be there. Is that really true? He didn't tell any of his Air Force buddies. Do we know this?
We don't really.
I'm not trying to, you know, call a Gary a liar. I'm just saying we don't have verification of that in any way.
He did tell at least a few people back at work, and so they could have said something to somebody too.
Right. You can surprise your parents by showing up in New York, but you can't really surprise your CO by going off base. That's called AWOL, and you can
you're supposed to let them know where you're at.
They don't generally like that in the US military, I'm told.
And then, so as far as the friend who says that he talked to Gary just the day before, even though it was supposed to be a surprise, well, you know, of course, that's not verified, but let's assume for the sake of fun that it's actually true. But let's assume that Gary did talk to him and Gary just had a memory lapse. Maybe the men in black wiped his memory.
I like that one.
You know, maybe that's what it was.
Maybe to better orchestrate this prank, Gary called him. I don't know.
I
mean, there's a lot of different ways that could be true or false, but certainly the friend hasn't come forward to say, I remember when I got the call from Gary.
We have not actually. He hasn't brought that guy forward. I don't know if that's
there's a lot of different reasons,
because the friend does not exist or he just doesn't want to get involved. Probably number two.
You know, but then if you kind of, like I said, you know, kind of put it aside and say, well, what else is there around this tape? Since we've proven you can make a tape like that, what else is there? And it's really just like the rest of Sue Swietek's her conference. It's all just really cool stories. It's just a cool story.
Yeah, it's just basically a story. I mean, one of the things that makes me suspect that it's BS is that he spends an awful lot of time on the phone talking to this voice, this distorted voice, which, by the way, I have a hard time understanding.
Yeah.
And yet he seems to have no trouble whatsoever understanding the voice, number one. And number two, he spends a lot of, consider his behavior with the annoying guy at the airport back in Texas. He blew the guy right off.
That's a good point.
According to his own words.
Yeah.
Why didn't he hang up on this person?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that's a really good question.
You know, I mean, why did he keep going on and answering his questions and stuff? Why? I mean, it makes no sense.
Right.
This is a little bit of a head scratcher. Gary was just punking us to have a little fun with us, you know.
And it's worth noting that Gary himself has given talks, attended these conferences like the one we played the audio clip of since 2015. And he has a YouTube page now. You can go check it out. And he talks about his experiences with UFOs and the Air Force and things like that. So Gary's out there and I don't know that he's getting rich off this, but he is definitely getting some attention.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I don't know how you get rich off the UFO thing unless you publish a book. You know, maybe if you publish a book and it really sells a lot of copies. You know, but that's even most of those guys that publish books don't even really make any money. I don't.
That's true.
I
mean, no. Yeah. So I mean, I'm not saying like Gary's getting rich off this, but I know. Having listened to him on podcasts, having checked out his YouTube page, I think he does enjoy talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And this was definitely his golden ticket to a lot of clout within the UFO community. So.
Maybe that's the plan is, you know, maybe he did make all this up, put it all out there because he wants to attract the attention of the aliens. He wants the aliens to come and visit him, you know? So,
well, I think he's had, I don't know about aliens, but he's had his run-ins with like UFOs and things.
Yeah, apparently, but not before the tape, but after the tape.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
No. So that would be.
Yeah. He has seen some, I guess, after this whole tape thing happened, I guess.
Definitely after. I'm not, I'd have to do more research into Gary Sidbrink, but I think before and after, but definitely since he's had UFO experiences. But I like the idea that like he made this tape and tried to put it out there in an attempt to get the Men in Black to actually call him.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea. I like that.
Yeah, he's setting a trap for him.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's a lot like the hit movie Contactee.
Yeah, it is totally like
setting a trap for the aliens.
Contactee. Yeah, which you should see, by the way, if you have not.
Yeah, you should.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't think we can. Okay, I said I was going to solve this one. I don't think we can 100% solve it, but I think.
I think you're pretty close, Vincent.
I think I'm on target.
Yeah, I think he faked it all. But
we solved one finally.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not just if you're Gary and you're listening, I'm not judging you. I'm not like making any moral judgment on you if you did fake it all. Because actually, I got to tell you this, I have actually done some done a little bit of work on the possibility of faking a big story myself and putting it on the internet just to see, you know, if it grows legs and actually takes on a life of its own. I've actually kicked the idea around myself, so you know, I'm no better than you are. I mean, I've considered doing it.
I mean, we're going to create a Frankenstein and set it free out there. Likewise, Gary, if you're out there and you want to come on the Shock Details and tell us about your experiences with Men in Black and UFOs and the Air Force, I would love to hear more about what you have to say. Would enjoy that. And maybe you could even change my mind and convince me this is real tape of the actual Men in Black, which honestly, I would prefer to the hypothesis I'm embracing right now. I'd rather it be true.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be definitely much more interesting. I don't remember. 1993, did we have Star 6-9?
We did, but there were definitely ways around it.
We did, didn't we? Yeah. Okay. So you couldn't. I'm curious about that. I'd never heard one way or the other if you tried to Star 6-9 this guy and call him straight back.
Yeah. But there were definite limits to Star 69. I remember, like, I mean, just as simple as if you're calling from an extension, it wouldn't work. It had to be like a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And of course, there were people that could have, I believe you could actually pay a few bucks extra a month and get Star 6-9 blocking, couldn't you?
There was that. And then also you could just dial Star 6-7. And I think it charged you, but not a lot. And then it was on call backable.
Yeah. So anyway, God, that brings back memories all those days.
No, it's true. There's people listening to like Star 69. Is that like some weird sex
Star
thing 69? Or something?
What the hell is that?
it's how you found out who called you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, this is back in the day. I'm actually old enough to remember the days before answering machines. Mm-hmm. When that was it, you either answered your phone or you didn't. You couldn't just let it go to voicemail. You couldn't do that. Yeah. And then it came up with stuff like caller ID and Star 6-9 and all this other fun stuff.
We just have caller ID. You hear that in the thing, but it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that if you Star 6-9'd it, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah.
The caller ID, because back in the day, you could buy cool special caller IDs, but most of the time you actually just bought it from the phone company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The little caller ID box that sat next to your phone. And if that thing wouldn't display the number, hitting Star 69 wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you wouldn't try.
Maybe he did try.
Yeah, you would think he would have tried. And so, you know.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have actually solved one?
Yeah. Oh, same as it does every week. What are you talking about?
I'm just happy that I had the audio skills kind of recreate this and manipulate the thing. It turns out going it really deep into debt for a degree in digital media production.
Yeah, it does.
Wasn't a total waste after all.
Yeah, and even in my untrained ear, and obviously I've vastly less experience than you doing this stuff. It did sound to me like the other voice was just a regular voice that had been slowed down. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's all it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. So you know, anyway, I don't know. Weird little story, but it's out there. And actually, there's a lot of people on places like Reddit, et cetera, in the UFO community who really, really believe that this happened mm-hmm. and that this really, really means something.
Yeah. And if you were one of those people, I would really love your perspective on it.
Absolutely.
I'd love to know why you think this is a legitimate piece of tape.
Yeah. Send us an email.
And what that means to you.
Yeah.
Send us an email. Get on our social media, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk with you more about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I guess that's it. We solved it. So time to move on to the end stuff and then bid everybody farewell. So remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do stay tuned for just a moment and hear the lovely Tess give you some important mm-hmm. information about our email and social media stuff. And of course, our weekly reminder to please, if you haven't already, leave us a rating and a review, preferably mm-hmm. both good, wherever you download your or stream your episodes from.
Yeah, 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 that means a lot. It really helps other people find out about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
If you haven't left us a review, please, please do that.
And if you already left us a review and you can find a way to do another one, just create as many fake logons as you can. We don't care.
Or just tell a friend. Yeah, that would also mean a lot to us.
That's another way to
go. Hey, yeah. You like stuff like I like, go check out this podcast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, okay. And anyway, so until next week, toodaloo.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
You know those popping phone handle things that you see on everyone's phones nowadays? Well, how would you like to put your logo on them? Does your podcast or band need new merch? Do you want to bring attention to your new book or film? Maybe you need something unique for your Patreon or crowdfunding campaign. Then visit thelogopop.com, where you can customize them with the logo of your podcast, band, business, art, school mascot, or whatever else you can think of. These are way more affordable than you may think at thelogopop.com. Mention where you heard this ad and get free shipping on your entire order. Remember, that's thelogopop.com to order your custom popping phone handles. That's thelogopop.com.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.